a tremendous series on purpose. And at the end of that series, she spoke on prayer. And during the course of that series, I had felt very strongly led of the Lord to minister a service on the presence of God. And I didn't really know, leading into that, quite what that was going to entail. And it was an interesting study, an interesting subject to research. So I'd like to share with you today about the presence of God. Now, we've had services, we have services here quite frequently where, and Pastor has spoken from the pulpit, and it's all obvious to each and every one of us that we have experienced the presence of God. We've come into this place, been led in worship by the worship team, and we have experienced the presence of God. The issue is, you can experience the presence of God, but it's quite another thing to enter into the presence of God. Now, that's the distinction that I'm going to try to make today, is the issue of experiencing the presence, because people experience the presence and can leave quite unchanged. And we will see that in the Word as we study today. But we will also see that no one who enters into the presence of God leaves unchanged. I want to turn to Exodus 19, 16 through 19. Now, this is the story of Moses when he took, and Moses is going to be one of the examples that we use. But what we'll see here is, when God led the nation of Israel out of bondage in Egypt, there was a purpose for that. And it was a very short trip initially, and they came, and God was wanting to prepare them at Mount Sinai to experience His presence. But more than that, to enter into His presence. And we'll see how they reacted when, in fact, they experienced the presence of God. Now, this is a reaction that any one of us as individuals, now we're talking about a corporate body, the nation of Israel, as they're brought out, but I want you to relate this to you as an individual and see how they responded and understand this is how individuals can and do respond. All right? In Exodus 19, 16 through 19, this is the meeting with God. I'll just go up to 14. And Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. Now, when we get to the 16th, we have to understand, Moses, God has told him, bring the people here, that they may enter into my presence. Moses has brought them there. He has told them, you need to prepare yourself. And they have prepared themselves. And then we get to their meeting with God. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And then the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder. Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. So we see here, they have been brought to the mount, Mount Sinai. And look what's happened when God descends from heaven upon the mountain. It's visible, and it's it caused the people to tremble. We'll find out that is a natural reaction for one to fall upon his face here a little bit later. But I want you to understand here, God came down. God was prepared to meet the people. And those people, as they stood there at that moment, experienced the presence of God. Yes, they did. But, you know, let's see what happened here. When we go to Exodus 20, 18 through 21. This is the effect of God's presence upon the people. 18. And let's see, did I say that right? Exodus 20, 18 through 21. Okay. This is the effects of God's presence. Now, understand, we're talking about God's presence. It is a wonderful thing to experience the presence of God. It should be. It can be. But what I want to say to you is that just experiencing the presence of God, it's a very, it can go one of two ways for people that happen, that it happens to. And it happens frequently. I want you to understand that. The presence of God is felt in many ways at many times. This is a really dramatic example where God came down to meet this entire nation of people and very visibly displayed his presence. And he told the people, he told Moses, this is why I've brought you to this place, to experience my presence. And when the presence of God became evident on the mountain, then the effect of God's presence on the people was, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, and when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. Now remember that term. They removed themselves and they stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. They came to the mount. God's presence became a tangible thing that they could see. But when it came time to enter into that presence, the effect of that presence on them, they went to Moses, whoa, Moses, this is a little bit more than what we bargained for. I'll tell you what, let's do it like we've always done it. You speak with God. Let him talk to you. And then you come and tell us what he said. Well, and Moses said unto the people, when they said, and they were fearful, and they stood afar off. And Moses, in verse 20, said unto the people, fear not. He said, don't fear the presence of God. Don't fear entering into the presence of God. That's what God desires. That is his will. That is our purpose for being here. This is why he brought us here. Don't be afraid of the presence of God. Now, they had experienced the presence of God visibly when they saw all of that. Now, think of that scene, if you can, as much as you can. I always go back to that movie with Charlton Heston, The Ten Commandments. And as old as it is, the special effects are still quite dramatic when God came down and covered that mountain, that huge mountain, with his glory, with his presence. He announced, I'm here. And he told the people through Moses, this is why I brought you here. I want you to experience me. I want you to enter in. I want to teach you. I want you to know things that you don't. I want to change you. And they saw that. They became afraid, backed up, said, no, Moses, you talk with God. Well, it's a little bit more than that. They didn't understand. When they said, Moses, you talk with God, God wanted to talk with them corporately, but as individuals also. God didn't want to deal through Moses with the people of Israel, as God doesn't want to deal through the pastor or anyone else with us today. God wants to deal with us on a personal basis because he's a personal God, because he loves us. He brought the nation of Israel out of bondage. Why? Because they'd cried for 400 years. Bring us out of bondage. And that's what God wants to do for us. Take us out of Egypt. Take us out of the world. Take us out of bondage. But, you know, God doesn't want to just work through an individual. He doesn't want to work through an evangelist. He doesn't want to work through a pastor. He doesn't want to work through a Sunday school teacher. When I say he doesn't want to, what I want to say is he wants to do that just to prepare you to be able to experience him, that you can talk with him and not have someone be the intermediary. Not have someone be the intermediary. God has things he wants to tell you. And only you. He has things he wants to tell us, and only us, but he wants to do it. All right? Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. God knew what they had come out of in Egypt, a terrible nation of idolatry and immorality. And what he wanted to do was impart to them what they needed to do so that they would sin not. Now, it is one thing for a minister of any sort, youth minister, a pastor, to come and say, well, go out and sin not. You shouldn't sin. You know, they tell that story about President Eisenhower, and his wife used to get on him about sleeping in the service. So she caught him one day. They were driving home from church, and she said, well, how'd you like the sermon today? He'd been asleep. He said, it was good. She said, I'm going to get you now. What was it about? Sin. What did the preacher say? He's against it. So, you may rest assured that God is against sin, because God says right here, the reason for my presence manifested in your life, the reason for you entering into my presence is that you sin not. All right? And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. Now, here's the situation. God had come to reveal himself to those people. Did they experience his presence? We think because they didn't enter into the darkness of the mountain, there's two issues here. You bet they experienced his presence. And the effect upon them was they were scared. And Moses said, don't be scared. This is the God that delivered you from bondage. He has something to tell you. Enter in. But they stood afar off. They experienced the presence, but they did not enter into the presence. Now let's see what effect that has on them. If we will turn to Exodus 33, there are the two issues here are the issue of Moses who spoke with God. Now, let me just read what it says in Exodus 33. Verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. Is that what God wanted to do for the nation of Israel? Yes, it was. He wanted to speak with him face to face, corporately and as individuals. When Moses went in unto God and spoke with him face to face, God told him things to tell to the nation of Israel. But God didn't want to exclusively work through Moses. Again, he wanted people to come in so that he could talk with him. But let's see what the effect of drawing away from God's presence and entering into God's presence is. Let's look at Moses who entered in, all right? Exodus 34:29. Moses entered into the presence of God. We've already seen that. The people drew afar off, said, you go talk with him. So Moses went and talked with him. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, where God had talked with him face to face with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, then he came down from the mount that Moses did not know, wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So what do we see here? I mean, there is visible evidence that Moses has changed. Moses talked with God in a way no other... Well, let's say this. God talked with Moses in a way that he has not talked to other men. But the issue is not that Moses is special. The issue is, when Moses talked with God, he was changed. People could see it. He didn't know it. But people would look at him and they knew he was in the presence of God because his skin on his face shone. There was a light that emanated from him because he had been in the presence of God. He was changed, physically changed, and people knew that he was different. Okay? Entering into the presence changed his countenance, and others noticed it, but he did not. And I want you to know that's the way it'll be with us when we enter into the presence of God. You will become, and we will become, as we do that, so used to it, we won't notice the change. But I guarantee you, I promise you, for those who enter into God's presence, people around you will know that you have spent time in His presence. You will be changed. Now, we talked in Sunday school class. There are, one of the things they teach you, now my wife told me, so she taught me, but she said, you never make blanket statements. You know, you never say to your children, oh, you're always doing this, or oh, you never do this. You know, you don't just make blanket statements that way that speak to that issue. But I'm going to make one here. And I'm going to say, you will always be changed when you enter into the presence of God. I promise you, I guarantee you, that is a blanket statement that you can make. Enter in, not just experience, enter in. We experience the presence of God. Anyone who comes to this place can experience the presence of God. Now, when we had the fire here, and I've used this example often, for about 4 Sundays after we had the fire, there was the issue of the smoke and the smell. So we had a cleaning crew, I guess, come in here. And I don't know, but they sprayed some sort of a mist or something in the air. And it was really unique the way this thing worked, because when you would come in here, what it did, it sort of started up high. I don't know how they sprayed it. I never saw. They wouldn't let me in here because they wore masks. But it started up high. And then when you would enter in, just about the level of that rail back there where the flags hang above, it was just like low cirrus clouds, if you've ever experienced that. You can see them. I mean, there was a white vapor that you could not see with your eyes that covered this whole place, and slowly that vapor would dissipate. And I always thought that's sort of exemplary of the presence of God. You can, anyone who had come in here could experience and see what I saw as far as that. And it really was, I'll be honest with you, it was really quite unique and quite beautiful. Never seen it again. I hope I don't, or never seen it before. I hope I never see it again, because it was associated with that fire. But what I'm telling you is, it dissipated, but I experienced that. But you know, those of you that come here and haven't seen it, you haven't experienced that. All right? What I'm saying is that we and people enter in, they experience the presence of God here on a regular basis. Some leave positively unchanged. Now, the presence of God in and of itself, it can change you, or you can leave and it can have absolutely no effect upon you. But for those that it changes, it only changes you in a real way beyond just, you know, you might leave here as the nation of Israel did. I experienced the presence of God. Man, it scared me to death. I'm never going back. I never want to be in the presence of God again. I want to go somewhere where I can just go to church. And that's just Jim Dandy fine with me. But I'm telling you that the presence of God is in this place, and I've been here 25 years, close to 25, and I have experienced the presence of God on more occasions than I care to remember or could count. And it has affected me. And I have seen people who have come in and experienced the exact same thing that I experienced. And some have come back, and some have stayed here for a period of time. But you know what? Just experiencing God's presence does not change them. If they do not take that next step, if we do not take that next step, and we don't enter in. Now, it has an effect upon people in many instances. I've seen people come. I've seen them stay for a little while. I've seen them stay for a long period. But you know what? Eventually, if they haven't entered into the presence of God, just the experience of the presence of God will not change them, and they go back to their old ways. You have got to enter in. There is a step beyond. You can come here from now on, and we can experience the presence every day. But I'm telling you, you have got to take that next step. And that's what Moses was telling the nation of Israel. You have got to take that next step. God is right here. He is right now. You know it. They all knew it. But you got to walk up and you got to enter in. Nope, Moses, you do it. Moses did. And God talked with him. And when God talked with him, he changed him. And the people knew it. But you know, that still wasn't enough. Even though they saw all that, that wasn't enough to convince them that they should enter in and talk with God. All right? I want to go to Exodus 34, verse 35. And this is just a reiteration of the thing. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, that Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. The light that emanated from Moses was so brilliant that he had to wear a veil when he talked with the people of Israel. But understand, they had experienced his presence. They had not entered into his presence, but they were fully aware that the man who entered into God's presence was a different man. They knew it. Maybe they didn't even know how. Maybe they didn't know what God had said, but they knew that he had been in God's presence. All right? Experiencing and entering into God's presence changed Moses. In Moses' case, it changed him spiritually and it changed him physically. All right? But what of Israel who experienced but did not enter in and stood afar off? So we've talked about Moses. Let's see what can happen, what generally speaking does happen to people who don't enter in to the presence of God. They experience it. And this is just the beginning of the Exodus. And believe me, through the entirety of the Exodus and 40 years in the wilderness, they are going to continually experience the presence of God. Because Moses said, God's presence was visible at night by fire, at day by smoke. Moses said, if you don't go, we don't go. If the smoke, if the pillar of smoke or the pillar of fire didn't move, Moses said, we don't move. We go with you, God. So they experienced on a daily basis the visible presence of God. They knew that he was there, but it took a whole generation dying off and a new generation to be raised up. Why? Because the old generation wouldn't change. They would not change. They would not change because they would not enter into the presence. It was just good enough to experience the presence. Oh, the manna is good, but I'm tired of it. I want meat. Oh, the water the last time was good, but here we are dying of thirst. Oh, you brought us out here in the wilderness to die, Moses, which is just saying, God, you've let us down. All right? Did God ever let him down? No. No. He never let him down. You know, rivers, just rivers of water flowing from rocks and flowing in the air. I mean, the presence of God not just visibly manifested, but physically manifested in a way that you and I really can only imagine. But because the nation of Israel would not enter in, a whole generation had to die because by we'll talk about this tonight, but they would not enter in to the point where they could not enter in. They experienced it, but just not at all in the way that God would have them experience it. All right, I want to go to Exodus 32, verse 1. Now, I'm going to kind of chop this up a little bit as we talk here, but we're going to go roughly through Exodus 32:25. But understand this, all right? People said to Moses, we're scared. Whoa, we're backing away from this mountain. And you'll notice they backed up twice. They stood afar off, and then they backed up even more. They said, Moses, you go talk with God, and you tell us what God says to tell us. We'll talk with you. Moses leaves. These people, and understand this presence of God, it doesn't go away when Moses leaves. This presence of God, I mean, they're basically sitting under the cloud at the base of the mountain. And they've just told Moses, go up, talk with God, come back, tell us what he said. Moses goes up, talks with God. What do they do? Well, let's read. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him. So the nation of Israel said, you go call him, you talk to him, you come back, tell us what he said. And then the minute he left, as soon as they thought that he'd been gone too long, they said, listen, give us another God. They told Aaron, Moses' brother, who was his helper, said, make us a God. Because we don't know what happened to Moses. They knew all along. They're under the cloud that they so feared that they didn't want to enter into. They could look right up in that mountain and they could see the presence of God. And they knew Moses was up there in the presence of God. But they said, whoa, you know, maybe he won't come down. We got to have somebody to lead us. So Aaron, make us a god. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings, the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf, and said, and they said, these be our gods. They took their earrings, put them in the fire. Aaron made them a golden calf, and that became their god. All the time, they were in the, they could see the presence of God. So what I'm saying is they're going right back to their old ways, and all the time God is standing there, or he's in the mountain visibly, his presence is there, and he's summoned them. He has said, come up. And yet they stayed there, and in his very presence, they have made a golden idol out of earrings. Okay? Let's go on. 5. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord, the calf. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. They were in a worse condition right now than they had been in the nation of Egypt, right now at this point in time. And the Lord said unto Moses, who was talking with him in the mountain as he entered into the presence, go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I had commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be our gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt in the very shadow of the presence of God. They took their earrings, made a golden calf and said, this is the God that brought us to the place that we are. Where is the place that we are? The place that they are right now is they ate and they drank and they rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, that I will make of thee a great nation. All right. They've made God mad. And he has said, I'll just wipe them out. And Moses made intercession, and that's part of another sermon. But we want to jump over to Exodus 32, verse 25, where Moses comes down from the mountain. All right? And when Moses saw that the people were naked, and Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. All right? Moses came down. What did he find? It was a pretty perverse sort of a scene that greeted his eyes as he came down from Mount Sinai, and he could hear the sound of the music, and he could hear the people, they were naked, physically. You know, physically they were naked. And they were in an idolatrous state, having immoral orgies in worshiping their idol. Now, would this be a pleasant scene to come down upon? But you know, Moses saw more than that, because he'd entered into the presence of God and he talked with God. And yeah, everybody that walked by could see physically what they're like. But Moses could see spiritually. And you know, spiritually, they were exposed to the judgment of God and the vengeance of their enemies without God's protection. And that's the issue there, without God's protection. They were naked spiritually. And when we talk about the presence of God and we talk about not entering into the presence of God, these people had gone right back into their old ways. And these people were in a worse position, because now, at least when they were in Egypt, they were protected by the most powerful army, or one of the most powerful armies of that day. Now they have enemies all around them, and they're naked spiritually, exposed spiritually. And that's what Moses saw. And that's what the nation of Israel was. And that's what happens to people who refuse to enter into the presence of God. Now, that's a rather harsh statement to say. But what I'm saying is, it's not enough just to experience the presence of God. I have seen it. I have seen the Lord manifest himself in great ways in this very sanctuary, in this church, to people. And they have, some have changed in the sense that they wanted more of that experience, but they didn't want to enter in. Because there's a price to pay to enter in. Pastor Lenore talked about that. There's a price to pay. There is a price to pay to enter in. What's the first thing was on these people's mind? Eat, drink, and play. You know, what's the first thing on the minds of the world? Eat, drink, and play. So I'm telling you, I have seen people come. I've seen people stay for a while. But, you know, I've seen so many people who have left having experienced the presence of God and have gone back to their idolatrous ways. Now, that's a harsh thing to say, but they've gone right back into the world. They haven't been changed. The nation of Israel wasn't changed by just experiencing God's presence. And all the while, God wanted to change them. Let me say this. Understanding this physical nakedness is the lesser of the two. I don't want to belabor this point. But the point that I do want to make is that spiritually, they were exposed. And that's a terrible place to be. Because they were exposed to the vengeance of their enemies, which they had enemies, Egypt being one of them, who was trying to destroy them. We have an enemy. He is Satan. He comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Now, I can just say this. I don't want to give him opportunity to do that. I certainly want to be able to defend myself. Let's just say it this way, you know. I don't want, if I'm a soldier, and I know there's many of you that have served in the service, but let's just talk about the war we're in right now, you know. I don't want to go, if I'm in the service, out on a patrol or whatever mission it is, naked. I don't want to do it. I want all the resources that are available to me to protect myself. And that's what God wants to do for us, is to give us those resources. Let's turn, let's look at Stephen here real quick. In Acts 6:8. Here's another example. Stephen is only talked about in the Bible in the sense of his martyrdom. But what we're going to see here again is just like what we saw in the Exodus with Moses and with the nation of Israel. We're going to see this with Stephen and the people of the Sanhedrin. All right, in Acts 6, verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. All right? So we know, it says right there, Stephen did great wonders. He did great miracles. People experienced the presence of God when they saw Stephen, when they were around Stephen. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, in verse 9, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Sicilia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. So there are people that didn't agree with him. And they didn't just quietly disagree with him. They stood up and very vehemently disagreed with him. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. So they got together a bunch of men to, like they did with Jesus, to falsely accuse him. But understand, they could not resist the spirit of Stephen. They wanted to. They tried to very hardly, very, very hard. But the issue was, Stephen had been in the presence of God. He had entered into the presence of God. And what he was saying was divinely inspired by God. It wasn't his opinion. It wasn't just what he thought that day. It was what God told him to say. He was doing just what Moses did. He was talking with God, and God was telling him what to say to these people. And when these people heard it, what? They didn't like it. They disputed it. But they couldn't resist it. They couldn't resist it because it came straight from God through Stephen. All right? I want to jump to Acts 6, verse 15. He's brought before the Sanhedrin. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly upon him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. God permitted his glory to shine through the face of Stephen to convince those people that what he had said was true. And those people looked upon the face of Stephen. And what did they see? They saw the radiance of God. They saw a man who had been in the presence of God. He was physically changed. He, light radiated from his face. Not only could they not dispute him, this was evidence that what he said was true. But how did they react? I want to go to Acts 7. Well, let's go to Acts 7. And in 2 through 53, we see Stephen's defense. And it's quite lengthy and it's quite elegant defense. But let's skip down to verse 54. Right after he had his face shown and he had made this defense of his cause, told them what God had told him to say, this is the people's reaction, who had seen on Stephen's face the radiance with which it glowed, that God did that specifically to convince them that what God said was the truth. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth, meaning they were very angry. They hollered at him. They were just filled with vile poison of wrath and malice and anger. But Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." All right, these people had resisted him, and God had allowed his face to shine because Stephen had entered into his presence, and they refused to enter into his presence. And they saw God did this just to convince them that what he told Stephen was true. And they still refused to accept it, and they still wanted to resist him. And when they heard the truth in all of its finality through this defense, they were full of anger. They had been in the presence of the very God. It wasn't Stephen they were mad at. It was God they were mad at. It was God they were resisting. But the point is, they had experienced God's presence. Those who had seen Stephen, those who had been around Stephen. Stephen was a man who had entered into the presence, and those who were around him experienced that presence as they looked upon him, and yet they still gnashed upon him with their teeth. All right? When Stephen saw his vision and he told them, now let me tell you something, he was full of the Holy Spirit, and he was absolutely in the presence of God. You cannot see heaven and Jesus in heaven. You cannot see that with your naked eye unless you have entered into the presence of God. So Stephen is seeing something here that none of them is seeing. And Stephen says, "I see God, and I see Jesus, his Son, sitting by the throne." This was the Jesus they crucified. This was the Jesus that they stood against, because they crucified him because he called himself the Son of God. God revealed to them that what Stephen said was true, and they were in God's presence. They experienced the presence of God at this point in time. But Stephen had entered in. He saw with his naked eye the heavens opened up. All right? Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. That meant he died. So here are these people who experienced the presence of God because Stephen was there. And Stephen at that moment was in the presence of God. What did these people do when God spoke through Stephen and told them what he wanted them to hear, and then did this physical manifestation to prove that what he said to Stephen was true? What did they do? Well, let's back up here. They cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. They didn't want to hear it. All right? That's the state of natural man. The point that I want to get across today is, and I've said it before, but I want to say it again, I guess. These people, whether they be the nation of Israel, whether they be the people who stoned Stephen, They had, in fact, experienced that presence. You can't be in the presence of a man of God to whom God opens up the treasure chest of his heaven. You cannot be in the presence of a man like Moses. You cannot be in the presence of a man like Stephen. All the other issues aside about the cloud of the mountain and the skin of their face shining, I'm just saying, you can't be in the presence of a man or a woman of God who has entered into that presence without you yourself experiencing it. Now, the difference is the experience as opposed to the entering in. Now, I was in Washington, D.C. one time, and I was walking with a group of people, and all of a sudden, man, there's like 1,000 police officers there. They said, you can't go any farther. Well, half the group that I was with was way across. Well, why can't you? Because the president's coming in on his helicopter. Well, what difference does that make? Well, because, you know, we set up these zones, and you can't cross them. And understand, there's people in high places all around here with rifles that are very good shots. You can't cross these. You can't do it. So I stood there. You know, I was kind of close to the fence that's on the outside. That's way away. You know, I saw the president probably walk the distance from this aisle to that aisle. And he was so far away, you know, he was like that high. But can I honestly say I experienced the presence of the President of the United States? I can stand before you today, and I can tell you, I experienced the presence of the President of the United States. Saw his helicopter come in, saw all the other helicopters that were up in the air, saw all the people there that were protecting him, all the measures that were taken. You know, I experienced the presence of the president. But, you know, if I were to say to you, the president invited me to dinner and he told me these things, you'd all perk up. I'd perk up. Because I was invited to come in and experience and enter into. I didn't, you know, try to run across that. They say that if you jump over that fence, you won't get 5 steps to the White House before you're shot. It doesn't matter, day or night. So, you know, I can't enter into the presence of the president just on a whim. But what I can say is if he invited me in and said, come in, have dinner. I'm going to have a few heads of state. I'm going to have the cabinet here. We're going to talk about important things. You need to hear it. Come eat dinner with me. Then we'll go downstairs. We'll bowl in the bowling alley they have in the bottom. You know, we'll watch a movie. We'll eat some popcorn. Who knows? We'll do lots of things. If I did that, I would be a changed person. Be hard for me to be humble, but I mean, I'm just telling you, I would be a changed person, and I would let you know it. But that's the issue of experiencing the presence and entering into the presence. You can't enter into the presence without being changed. It just won't happen. So when you see people who have gone back to the way in which they came from, I suggest to you that perhaps they have just experienced, as the nation of Israel and as those who stoned Stephen, they have just experienced the presence of God. They have not entered into the presence of God. If we want to be people of God, we need to enter into His presence. Because standing there and just experiencing His presence, looking at the cloud and standing afar off, we're never going to change from the people that we are. And God wants people to be changed, and God has things to tell people, and God wants to do that personally. And He says, enter in. Don't be afraid. He says, don't be afraid. You can be like Stephen. You can be like Moses in the sense that you can be a changed person. You can be a leader. I can use you. But you've got to enter in. You cannot just stand afar off and say, I experienced the presence, because it won't change you. Someone will come along right after you say, I experienced the presence. Well, let's go have a beer. Sure. You buying? Yeah. Great. That's exactly right. But you come out of having been in the presence of God, and you can be tempted that way. Well, I wager to say that in most instances you will not be tempted that way, because there'll be conviction that come upon people when you've been in the presence of God. It happens. It happens. I'm going to tell you, it happens when you've been. You may not want it to happen. You may not want your friends to be convicted, but the conviction of God comes upon people who are in the presence of someone who has entered in and spoke with the Lord. Okay? I want to close. I want to close here. Look at my watch. It's like 2 minutes till. Got to get going. Okay. I want to close this with just a little statement about a monk named Brother Lawrence, and he lived in the 1600s. And it says here, his job was to wash dishes. He learned the profound truth that God's presence can be experienced even in the grind of daily routine work. For me, he wrote, the time of activity does not differ from the time of prayer. In the noise and clatter of my kitchen, while several persons are calling together for as many different things, I possess God in as great a tranquility as when upon my knees at the Blessed Sacrament. He found no urgency for retreats because in his mundane tasks he met the same God he loved and worshipped in the stillness of prayer and devotion. If I could have the music team to come forward. What Brother Lawrence is saying here, or what basically what he's saying is, in anything that I do and any place that I am, I can not only experience, but I can enter into the presence of God. When I'm washing dishes and cleaning the kitchen or cleaning the house, or I'm at my desk doing my work, or I'm a salesman, I'm a clerk, I'm a manager, I'm a CEO, whatever. You can enter into the presence of God during the course of that which you do on a daily basis, to the extent that you enter into it on a Sunday morning, if that's what you choose to do, or a Wednesday night. You can enter into the presence of God. Brother Lawrence said, I experience God in a manner and a way when I enter into His presence at any given moment of the day. I am in His presence. I feel His presence. I know that I'm there. And when you enter in, you're going to know that you're there. As we close the service today, and we will talk tonight about Adam and Eve and Saul, to continue this theme. But please, as you leave today, if you can't come back tonight, please understand this. I said it at the beginning. I guess if you had left at the beginning, you still would have gotten the gist of the service. So I'm going to tell you, it's one thing to experience the presence of God. It is a completely different thing to enter in to that presence of God. And God wants us each to enter into His presence. He says, like Moses said, don't be afraid. We'll find out tonight. He said it to Saul, don't be afraid. He said it to Adam and Eve, don't be afraid. Father, we come together this evening, or this morning, Father God, and we just thank You for Your presence, for Your grace and Your mercy. And Father God, Lord, as You have exposed hearts, our hearts to Your word, Father God, I'm asking that You, if there be those who are here today, Father God, who know You not, that, Father, they desire to enter into Your presence, that they be convinced in their mind, Father, they be convicted in their spirits, that, Father God, You are the God they need and that they should not be afraid, and, Father, that You want to speak to them. Father God, You want to do for them. And I'm asking now with every head bowed, and if the music ministry would play The Wonderful Cross, that song that you played this morning, if I could get you to do that. I just want, with every head bowed, I want to ask if there's anyone here, having heard this message, who has never entered into the presence of God because they've never heard this before, that you, or even if you have heard it before, if you desire to enter into the presence of a God who loves you and who offers you a Savior through the wonderful cross of Christ, I just, with your heads bowed, and give yourself a moment. If you want this presence of God, and God makes it freely available, we can come in and we can talk with God, and Jesus can be made our Savior. If there's anyone here that doesn't know Jesus, I'm not wanting to embarrass you, but I'm wanting to say that this is an opportunity. If you don't know Jesus, this is an opportunity that you have that you may never have again. And I believe you've experienced the presence. Everyone here has experienced the presence. But I'm asking now, are there those of you who have not entered in to the presence that would like to? If there is, if you just raise your hand, and we won't embarrass anyone. What we want to do here today is we want to usher people into the presence of God. Okay. Father, we